Hare Krishna. Here we are in the park, everybody. Hare Bol. Namah Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutalaya Shimate Vakti Vedanta Saumen Iti Namaste. Namaste Saraswati Deva Lavani Pachorne Nilasecha Tunyavate Pashacha Desatarne
Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So, what topic would everyone want me to speak about, or questions? What's that? Yes.
I was interested from the Bhagavad Gita verse, he who faces difficulties or happiness, he can realize absolute truth. When he don't rejoice in happiness and don't lament in difficulty.
Yeah, when one gives up happiness, Yeah, Lamentations. So, actually, let's go to the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita to describe what you're talking about. In order to give up, actually you can't give up anything, so forget about it. You can't, as I often say in my seminars, you can't do a don't. In other words, you can't give up something without taking up something else. So if you try your best, let's say you forget about Krishna consciousness, and you try your best to be detached from the body, and you keep chanting the mantra, I'm not the body, over and over again. Is there any effect to that? No, I know that. But I'm making a point right here. So if you keep chanting, I'm not the body, I'm not the body, what you're not, you will never become detached, taking things negatively like that. You have to take it positively. You have to understand who you are. Just like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find Sanatana Goswami was approaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the first time, or actually second time, after he had escaped from prison. And you know the first thing he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He said, who am I? Kami. And then what is my duty? I've taken up this renounced order of life. And he said, what is my duty? So that's the real point. If we understand what our duty is and who we are, then automatically, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Junayati Asu Vairagyam Yanam Chayada Vaitukam. Does anyone know this verse? That when one does devotional service, Bhagavati, unto Bhagavan, that is Krishna. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. Then automatically detachment arises as well as knowledge. Vinayati Asu Vairagyam. Vairagyam is the opposite of attachment. Attachment is Rajyam. Or passion. That's why, for example, a sannyasi is called Maharaj. It means great passionate one. I'm joking, of course. Wait, go away. Actually, the term Maharaj traditionally was never used for sannyasis. Did you know that? It was used for kings. Somehow or other in Kali Yuga, they started using it for sannyasis. The sannyasis became more passionate. But originally, a sannyasi was called Swami, even not Maharaj. He was called Babaji or Babu, like this. So, Vairagya means to be without passion. So that comes automatically with bhakti. Bhakti yoga prayojitaha. And bhakti, what does bhakti mean? It is more than the sadhana process. It is a question of utilizing the sadhana process to think of Krishna and serve Krishna with devotion. It's not simply an external activity or a bunch of external activities. What's that? Phone. Bhakti means to serve Krishna with devotion, and that's described. How do you do that? That's described in the nutshell verse of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. I believe it's the 12th verse. It goes, Anyabhi Lashita Shunyam Gyanakaramana Vritam Anukulyena Krishna Nushilanam Bhakti Rutanam. The bhakti is described or defined by Srila Rupa Goswami as being devoid of personal desire, being, that is, gross or subtle desires, and then also having the three positive qualities of doing what Krishna wants, doing it joyfully, and being active at doing it. Three qualities that are mentioned there. Active, you know, active. Not that I'm just dreaming of serving Krishna. Just like I was at a community recently, and they had a big discussion about Varnashram. Talking about, you know, how to do this, how to do that. So one of the ladies thought, why should we discuss? Let me go out and do farming. So everybody else was discussing about Varnashram for days and days and days. And she developed this big garden. So who knew more about Varnashram? Okay. Only goes for a second. So who knows more about Varnashram, the person who talks about it or the person who does it? So many times the devotees, they're very philosophical. They'll discuss, like in Christianity, they have this thing that, Hare Krishna, get this here. They have this thing, you discuss how many angels you could fit on the head of a pin. You ever hear that before? So in Krishna consciousness, we get so much into philosophy. It's like Prabhupada talked, or gave that example, that once upon a time, an apple fell from a tree. You heard this example. And there were two philosophers discussing about how it fell from the tree. And then a devotee walked by, offered it to Krishna and ate it. So we should be like that devotee. Of course we have philosophy, but if we sit around all day long talking philosophy, it's not going to help us. We got to do something, roll up our sleeves and do something. So that's bhakti. And do it with a spirit of devotion to please Krishna. Then automatically, one becomes detached. Automatically, you give up a sense of false ego. Automatically, you give up a sense of being a proprietor. That's Krishna consciousness. Serve Krishna with devotion. Now, how do you serve Krishna with devotion? You have to hear regularly, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Nasta prayeshu avidreshu, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. That means serving the Bhagavatam by hearing the Bhagavatam and... Oh my God. And serving the devotee Bhagavat. Okay? So let's take some more questions. Does anyone have any other questions? Otherwise we could talk about Ratha Yatra because that's what you're preparing for, right? Yeah. Oh, question, yeah. Speak loudly.
Can you explain a difference, or is there any difference, a person between holy names before initiation and after initiation?
Actually, there's no difference in the holy names. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, at least Prabhupada explains, that the holy name doesn't wait for initiation. Namachintamani Krishna Chaitanya Ratha Vigra Punashila Mishima Go Inakwam Namanamino. The holy name, though, must be heard, as Prabhupada said in his famous recording, from the lips of a pure devotee. Because Golokera, Premadana, Harinam, Sankirtan. This Harinam has to descend. Bhaktivinoda Thakur stated very clearly that the Maha Mantra is not simply the movement of the lips and the tongue. The Shuddha Nama, the Shuddha, you know, Shuddha, pure name, has to descend. Of course, you can have Nama Bas without the holy name manifesting through the lips of your devotees. Like the example given by Bhaktivedanta Thakur in the Harinam Chintamani. The example given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Harinam Chintamani is that even the Muslims, when they were getting attacked by a boar means a big pig. Doesn't mean someone who is boring. When they got attacked by a boar, they were chanting Haram. Haram. Which means how horrible, how frightening. And simply by chanting Haram, they got free from all karma. Or just like, I think you have a hotel here called Ramada. I think I saw that many years ago, near the center. So if someone goes there and they chant, I'm going to Ramada Hotel, they get liberated. Pretty good. And even if someone jokingly says the holy name, by accident says the holy name, even if the syllables are divided, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there's benefit. However, it's not the shudanam. It's not going to give you pure Krishna consciousness. To have pure Krishna consciousness, it'll simply give you namavash. Now that's pretty good. Namavash is pretty good. But it's not going to get you to the spiritual world. Just like a Jamil, he was chanting namavash. We mentioned yesterday. Ajamil was calling out his name of his son, Narayan Narayan. And that's called Namavas, chanting. But he didn't go back to Godhead by Namavas chanting. He was saved from the Yamadutas. The Vishnu Dutas came. But still, after that being saved, he had to go to a holy place and actually take proper association and perform bhakti. Then he went back to Godhead. So the point about the holy name, no, it doesn't wait for initiation. That's true. So then why do we have initiation if it doesn't wait for initiation? That's a good question. The reason is that to be engaged in devotional service, for several reasons, you need guidance. One of the duties of the guru is to ascertain the psychophysical nature of a disciple and engage them accordingly. Either the guru does that directly or through his representative. Another reason for initiation is when you make a promise to someone, you take it seriously. Another reason is when you serve a Vaishnava, it's better than serving Krishna. Lord Shiva says, Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param Tadmat Paradharam Devi Twadiyanam Samarchanam. He says that worship of Vishnu is supreme, but even better than worship of Vishnu is worship of Vishnu's devotees. Krishna also says in the Adi Purana that someone who says he is my devotee is not my devotee. Right? But someone who says he's a devotee of my devotee is my devotee. So you have these statements by Krishna. So we should take them seriously. Another point is, Krishna says through his devotees, like in the Nectar of Devotion and other literatures, that in taking shelter of a spiritual master and taking initiation are amongst the five most important activities in Krishna consciousness. Okay, isn't it? Nectar of Devotion gives the principles of bhakti. Taking initiation, learning how to serve the spiritual master, you know, bhakti. And learning about the past acharyas from the spiritual master, following in the footsteps, isn't it? Nectar devotion. So if you disobey those particular instructions, you're committing an offense. So one may say, I can go back to Godhead without taking initiation. Well, you're committing an offense on chanting by saying that. Because you're disobeying the order of the spiritual master. You know, the Tet Offense is on Chenier. A third offense, disobeying the order of the spiritual master. And that spiritual master, we say, I have no spiritual master, so I'm not disobeying his order. That's a pretty good argument, isn't it? Better to have no spiritual master so you can't, that way you don't have to disobey anyone's order. It doesn't work like that. Because the original spiritual master, of course, is Lord Nityananda. And you can't get away from that. Actually, if you want to have Krishna directly as your spiritual master, then you can take birth in Vrindavan. The residents of Vrindavan have Krishna directly as guru. And they don't, actually they don't need to take initiation. But how did they get to be residents of Vrindavan? Well, in a previous birth they took initiation. You don't get to be born in Vrindavan just by chance. Of course, there's some residents of Vrindavan that can't take initiation. They're called the monkeys and the pigs. Anyway, for the rest of us, it's an essential item of devotional service. You can't get away from it. Sure, you can chant Hare Krishna. Sure, the chanting of Hare Krishna is pure. Just like when I first came in contact with Krishna consciousness, it was just hearing Prabhupada on the radio. I was trying to listen to the Beatles. You know, Beatles? And all of a sudden, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like this came on, Prabhupada was chanting. And just by hearing the sound vibration, Brahmanda Brahmatai Onna Pajivan Jeev Guru Krishna, like this, my whole life Bhakti Latavish, the creeper, the seed of the creeper of devotion was implanted in my heart. My whole life changed. I immediately lost interest in everything. I pretty much immediately dropped out of university. It was very bad for my material life. I heard Prabhupada, and then just once. And also, I had gotten a copy of Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book. And I read a little bit about a little blue boy stealing butter and feeding it to monkeys. And I couldn't get the image of the little blue boy out of my mind. But still, I had to take initiation. It's not enough. Why? Another reason is because surrender is required. What does surrender mean? According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, surrender means surrendering to the sound of the bulldozer. Anyway. I'm really surrendered. So surrender means accepting everything favorable for devotional service. Sharanagati. Rejecting everything unfavorable. How do you know what's favorable, what's unfavorable? It's your own mind if you don't accept guru, right? And then, of course, the other four items are understanding that Krishna is always protecting you, and always understanding Krishna is maintaining you, and then being meek and humble, and finally having no separate interest, having the interest in the Lord. So, therefore, spiritual master is required, and initiation is required. It's necessary to make a promise. Who are you going to make a promise to? Right? I mean, it's just like nowadays, of course, it's just like people don't get married anymore. They don't make promises. I was speaking to someone, where was it? Sweden. And it's a man and woman, they've been living together. They've been living together for 10 years. And I said, why don't you get married? And they said it makes it much more difficult when we want to leave each other. There's all sorts of legal problems, they said. That's called divorce, they said. So therefore, marriage, what is marriage? Marriage is a promise. It's not simply a ceremony. What is initiation? It's a promise to someone, isn't it? Just like when I took initiation, was that 1972, I made a promise to Prabhupada. And that promise has sustained me all these years. And when I took sannyasa initiation in 1978, that was a promise too, because Prabhupada had passed away. But I still made that promise to Prabhupada. Because Krishna consciousness is very personal. You have a personal relationship with the Guru. He's personally there with his disciples. His or her. Actually, gurus can be ladies too. Just not coming. So, therefore, initiation is essential. If you want to go back to Godhead, if you just want to rot in the material world, chanting Hare Krishna, you don't have to take initiation. You won't rot. I mean, at least you'll be happy. If you just want to go to the heavenly planets, yeah, you don't have to take initiation. But if you want to please and connect with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have to take initiation. All right, other questions? Yes.
What if someone does not take any initiation, but he is serving gurus and vaishnavas somehow?
Why can't he take initiation?
I don't know. I don't want to promise anything.
I don't want to say that's the problem. That's the issue. We should promise something. Because by promising something, we become Yavasayatmika Budhir Ekeha Kurunandana. We become one-pointed. Just like when I promised to Prabhupada to chant 16 rounds, then there was no question of not doing it. There's no question. And every day, I mean, I could say, and I'm not bragging, maybe I am, every day since I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, I've never failed to chant 16 rounds. Not one day did I even have to make up rounds from the previous day. Even sometimes when we were sick, because everybody gets sick from time to time, even when I had to lie in bed sick, I was chanting my rounds slowly. Because I took my promise seriously. Prabhupada expected that of us. Prabhupada was disappointed when people didn't keep their promise. He was not only disappointed, he was shocked. Because he came from a very high class culture. Prabhupada came from very high class Bengali culture where people kept their promises. Nowadays, of course, people don't keep promises, right? They're very quick to break their promises. Even when I was young, when you were making a promise, sometimes you cross your fingers. It means you didn't have to keep your promise. But Prabhupada expected that of us. So when you're determined, Yavasayatmakabhuya, Ekeha Kudanandana, then your mind never wavers. Haribol. So, that's why it's important to make a promise. Otherwise, one won't do anything in life. I mean, that means you basically can't even hold a job unless you're going to be promising something, right? You what?
I'm not working.
Oh, you're not working. Oh, yeah. So you don't need to promise anything.
Yeah.
Well, you're an avaduta. Avaduta means like the wind. Anyway, it's a joke. So, what other questions do we have? Yes. So the question was raised, what's the best way to stay in Krishna consciousness year after year? Well, first answer, of course, is what I said, but there's more answers than that. Is that one is that personal commitment to the person, spiritual master, this person. Second thing is, you have to really think of why you want to become Krishna conscious, or be Krishna conscious, or stay in Krishna consciousness. Oftentimes, we do things ritualistically. It's a big problem in every religion, that there's ritualism. And as we are doing things, we don't think of why we're doing, what the meaning of what we're doing is. For example, and then we lose a taste. For example, let's say you go to Mangalarti. Everybody knows what Mangalarti is? No. Nobody knows. Anyway, too bad. So, Mangalarti is something that happens in an ungodly hour of the morning. That means 4:30. Let's say, so you go to Mangalarti, and they chant this interesting prayer, which some of you call a samsara prayer. The word samsara means material entanglement. So the first problem is you call it a samsara prayer. The second problem is you don't think of what you're chanting when you chant. It just becomes a ritual. In other words, you chant samsara dhavana and we look at Shemaika, we know it, and it's, you know, and then while you're chanting, your mind goes somewhere else. Instead of thinking, respect that first verse then, in the Guru Vashtava, that the material world is on blazing fire. I'm giving you a paraphrase, translation of it. Because that's how I like to learn verses, rather than verbatim, you know, the same words. I like to paraphrase them that way and remember. That the material world is like a blazing forest fire, and the spiritual master rains down the mercy to extinguish the blazing fire of material existence. Therefore, we offer our obeisances at the lotus feet of such a bona fide devotee or servant or spiritual master. And the second one, Mahaprabho Kirtanam Richa Gita Varitramanyan Manasavana Sena, that whenever the great devotee, the spiritual master, hears the kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he starts dancing and chanting. And the hairs of his body stand on end. Ramancha kumbhashru. Ramancha means like hair standing up. Kumbhashru taranga bhajra. He feels quivering on his body in kind of spiritual trance. So if you actually think of what you're doing, why you're doing it, when you're doing it, you always have a taste. But if you just get into rituals, that's called by Srila Rupa Goswami Niyam Agraha. In his Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami gives the things that drive us away from Krishna consciousness. Like Achahara Prayasasha, the Gautam Niyam Agraha, Janasangha Shalorim Cha, Sadhvira Bhakti Vinashvati. That if we perform devotional service as a ritual, without thinking of what we're doing, then it actually drags us away from Krishna. So the secret, I think the secret is always being connected. It's not very hard. So then Mangalarti becomes very ecstatic. You want to go. Instead of thinking, why do I have to wake up early in the morning? Then you really want. This is ecstatic. I get the chance to talk about my guru. I get a chance to talk about Prabhupada. Devotional service should be always exciting like that. Just like we gave a seminar in Serbia about 2 to 3 years ago about something like this. And we had one devotee. Haribol. Okay, just stay there. Who wants to go swimming? So one of the devotees who was taking the seminar, he wrote a poeticized translation of the Sundararti song, Kiva Jaya, Jaya Kormachana. And, you know, you see, normally the devotees go and they chant and they just like really, you know, they dance a little. But when he chanted it in the language, it was Serbian, or Serbian Croatian, all the devotees started crying in ecstasy. Because they finally understood what they had been chanting for the last 20 years. Because we have a need for experiencing emotions, spiritual emotions. But without understanding why we're doing something, it's hard to experience spiritual emotions. Right? So I think that's a big secret, staying connected. Also, another big secret is avoiding bad association. You know, I haven't gone into a bar since I joined the Hare Krishna movement. Actually, one time I went to a bar to save a devotee. He was playing the piano in the piano bar. And he was playing the piano and all the girls were sitting on the piano. And he kept his eyes closed, and then he finished his set and he looked up and he said, "Oh my God, what are you doing here?" That's actually the only time I've ever been in a bar. So you keep good association. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Shastra Koi, Labha Matri Sadhu Sangha. Sarva City Boy. And so I have a regular sadhana process. I listen to Prabhupada every day. We are very fortunate because we have Prabhupada recorded. This is, I think it's probably the only major religion in the world where the founder Acharya's words are directly recorded. We know exactly what he said, right? It's amazing. I mean, just like if you go to the Bible, you know, you don't really know what Jesus Christ said. I mean, Shaktivesha Avatar, certainly we offer all respects, Prabhupada said, he's our guru, but we really don't know what he said, for sure. Or Muslims don't really know what Muhammad said. Muhammad was illiterate. He didn't write the Quran. So we know exactly what Prabhupada said, because it's recorded. Nobody can change that. So anyway, so we take advantage hearing from Prabhupada, reading Prabhupada's books, serving Prabhupada's mission, avoiding bad association. Sangas Changat Sato, Sangas Jagat Sato Vrite. Give up that. The first thing the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, the first reply he gave when he was asked about what is the quality of the Vaishnava, then he said, Satsanga Chaga Vaishnava Achar. Vaishnava Achar behavior is to give up bad association. So that's how you remain steady. It's not a problem. And don't commit offenses against devotees. Because as soon as you commit offenses against devotees, you lose your taste. Very simple process. I mean, I'm very happy. I've been serving Krishna all these years, like 50 years now almost. and it gets better every day. So who can say that about their life? That their life gets better every day unless they're Krishna conscious. And every day we get more and more disinterested in this world. It's like I'm traveling all over the world, but I never go sightseeing. If I go to London, I don't go to see Big Ben. You know what Big Ben is? The changing of the guard at Buckingham Palace. One time I saw the Queen. I told her Hare Krishna. The whole material world is boring. That's how an advanced devotee sees this world. It's a boring place. Isn't it? I have one disciple here in Finland who did, anyway, she thought parts of this material world are not so boring. So she spent thousands and thousands of euros to go see some ice cubes in Alaska. I'll tell you who she is, though. Ice cube, you know, icebergs. You know, that's all this material world is. So much money was spent to go to see these giant icebergs. You know what icebergs are? And I was thinking, if you want to see icebergs, you just take a glass of water and put some ice cubes in it. And you look at it real close. And it's not expensive. So much endeavor, you go places. Of course, the holy places are nice to see. If you go to Govardhan and you see places of Krishna's pastimes, that's always wonderful. But the material world, what is there? Yeah.
How do you connect your emotions to Krishna and avoid being caught up in the head?
Good. How do you connect your emotions to Krishna and avoid getting caught up in the head? Well, you connect your emotions to Krishna by, first of all, appreciating Krishna's wonderful activities. You have to get to know Krishna. But actually, first you get to know Guru. Just like I think often that actually, I just want to serve my guru life after life. Honestly, at this particular stage of my Krishna consciousness, I'm not that interested in going back to Godhead. I just want to serve Prabhupada. So the strong attachment to the spiritual master, just like one is attached, or should be attached, to one's father, mother, people did so much for you. I think that's natural. A sense of gratitude, a sense of love, desire to serve, desire to please. That's actually where love of Krishna, the emotions start. And if one has that desire, that mood, then the emotion connected to Krishna will naturally develop. By pleasing the spirit. And you know, that's another verse in the Guru Vashtaka. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada dhamma. This is the filthy. By pleasing Guru, then Krishna can please. And if one doesn't please Guru, nagati katopi. Basically, he doesn't go there. That's a literal translation. So, you know, that's how you have some spiritual emotions. Hearing Krishna's pastimes, even it's described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that even a non-devotee, if he is around a pure devotee, can experience spiritual ecstasy. That's called burnt up or dried up ecstasy. Even someone who's not Krishna conscious, if there's a static kirtan, I'm sure you've all experienced that when you have a static kirtan in the street, or you're going to have this Radha Yatra. When someone comes by, even if they have nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, they experience the ecstasy. I was just at Radha Yatra in New York, and of course, it's a little bit bigger than your Radha Yatra here. Literally, not too much bigger. There were three carts, and there were so many people there that I couldn't even pull on the cart because I couldn't get a space. You know, as soon as I touched the rope, some lady punched me. So get out of my way. I said, I'm a sannyasi. She said, I don't care. So, but I could see there are literally tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of like people who knew nothing about Krishna consciousness, and they were smiling. And they were feeling great happiness as we went by. And the ones that were fortunate enough to pull the rope, basically the end of their material lives. Because when you pull the cart of Lord Jagannath, Baladeva, Subhadra, you're assisting the gopis. Because the whole point of Radha Yatra is the gopis are dragging Krishna back to Vrindavan. And so when you assist, you're actually assisting in this highest pastime for the boy. So that's how you maintain. Not so hard. Read regularly. Don't commit offenses. Associate with the devotees. Then you'll have so much happiness. If you're miserable, you're doing something wrong. Krishna, like we were talking about this morning, Krishna is equal to everyone. It's not that I have more mercy than you have. Does that make sense? It's not that any devotee has any more mercy than any other devotee has. It's just that that devotee has accepted more mercy. You can't say, Guru Maharaj, please be merciful to me. Anyway, Guru Maharaj isn't merciful to you. But you're saying, no, I don't want that type of mercy. It's like one time, a person came to the temple, and he said, Swamiji, I want your blessings. And I said, what type of blessings? He says, I want your blessings to have money. I said, I can't give it to you. I say it's a funny story. In India, I have many friends. But there was one friend who knew that I was going around Govardhan every day when I was there. And he would come and join me. And he was more enthusiastic about going around Govardhan than me. I said, wow, you're a really good devotee. He said, just I want money, I want money, I want money. So he started thinking, if I had so much devotion like that, I'd be a pure devotee right now, you know. So he would go round and around and around and around.
Did he get money?
Yes. It worked. Because in Braj, whatever you desire, you get. Whether it's good or bad. I'll tell you two stories about this. One story is, I had a friend who was 50 years old. His wife had left him. And I was telling him, you don't need to get married again. And so I went up to a desire tree and embraced the tree. And I told this friend that I'm praying that you don't get married again. And he got very upset with me. He ran up to the same tree and embraced it. Had the opposite desire. 2 weeks later, he was married. There was another story. This is a story about me. Once upon a time, I was in Braj. And I had this group of devotees that I was taking around. And two of the devotees started fighting with each other. And I got so upset, I said to Krishna, Krishna, make some arrangement, I don't have to go on parikrama with these devotees. Next thing I knew, I was in the hospital. I won't tell you what happened. It's embarrassing. The next thing, you know about that. Next thing I knew, I was in the hospital, and the hospital, they hadn't cleaned the sheets in 3 years, and everyone was dying around me, and the doctor was asking me if I wanted a new needle or a used needle. Just because I asked Krishna for that in Vrindavan. You have to be very careful in Vrindavan. So, anyway, yes, this devotee who was circumambulating Govardhan with me, he was not only asking for money, he was asking for a visa to live in New Zealand. And Krishna fulfilled it.
Did he also ask for Krishna? No.
He didn't ask for Krishna. It's like that story of Sanatan Goswami and the touchstone. Once upon a time, some of you may have heard the story. Once upon a time, there was a man, and he was worshiping Lord Shiva. And he said to Lord Shiva, "I want money, I want money." And Lord Shiva said, "Yes, go to Sanatan Goswami. He has this touchstone that turns everything to gold." So we went to Sanatan Goswami, and Sanatan Goswami said, "The touchstone is in the garbage." So he got it from the garbage, started turning everything to gold, turned his wife to gold, his children to gold, everything to gold. But then he thought, why was this in the garbage? And he went back to Sanatana Goswami and said, "Sanatana Goswami, why was it in the garbage? You must have something better." And Sanatana Goswami said, "Yes, I have something much better, but you have to throw the touchstone in the Yamuna." So the guy was traumatized, because everything he wanted his whole life was in that touchstone. And so finally, he got the courage up, he threw it in the Yamuna, and Sanatana Goswami gave him the holy day. So, but anyway, so whatever desire one has, akama, sarvakama, moksha kama, dharadi, tivrena bhakti yogena, Jeta Purusham Puram. One should worship Krishna. It's like Dhruva. He was worshiping Krishna enthusiastically for a big desire. Desire to have kingdom better than Lord Brahma. And what did he get? He got it. But he also got pure devotional service. Alright, any other questions before prasad? Yes. Why is bhakti so much tastier with devotees than when we do it alone? Well, there's something called Sankirtan. It's the Yuga Dharma, first of all. Yuga Dharma means the principle of spirituality in this day and age. Kali Kalera Dharma, Krishna Dharma Sankirtan. And by Krishna becomes more pleased when we do the association of devotees. The more devotees that chant together, the more Krishna is pleased. So that's why it's so tasty. Because Krishna is pleased. Krishna is there in his holy name, Namachintamani, Krishna is Chaitanya Rasa Devaha. And he manifests himself fully. Especially when we're serving the devotees and associating with the devotees. Another reason is, that comes to mind, is that Krishna himself doesn't give bhakti. That may come as a shock. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says Krishna doesn't give bhakti. Bhakti is independent. But where does bhakti reside? In the heart of his devotees, in the heart of Krishna's devotees. Krishna say tumar Krishna dite par. Like the devotees pray, Krishna is yours, you have the power to give him. I am simply running behind you, shouting, Krishna, Krishna. That's how you get bhakti. The bhakti lata bija is not given by Krishna. Isn't it? Ramanda brahmate karma, bhagavad, jiyu guru Krishna, sakaribhaya bhakti lata bija. One gets bhakti lata bija from guru, from other devotees. Not from Krishna, because bhakti is independent. So that's why. So when you were with other devotees, you absorb their bhakti. You get heart transplants from the other devotees. That's why it's more noticeable. Yeah, if you're by yourself, it gets a little dry. So, yes.
What if the guru doesn't specifically tell you what to do for Krishna?
Then write to the guru and ask him if someone else can give you instructions. Then you need Siksha Guru. So we got Diksha Guru, and the Siksha Guru has to be, according to our ISKCON disciple course, has to be confirmed by the Siksha Guru. So then you ask the Siksha Guru, can I take instruction from, let's say, Donald Trump? And the Diksha Guru says, no. You confirm. But the instructions from Diksha Guru and Siksha Guru should be compatible. That's important. So, that's a fact of life. But many times, one can't get direct instruction. So one gets instruction from representative guru or Siksha Guru. When Prabhupada was present, most devotees were getting instruction from Prabhupada's representatives, like temple president. Prabhupada considered the temple president to be his representative. In the beginning, the first 2 or 3 years, everyone had, let's say, a personal interaction with Prabhupada on the physical platform. And then after some time, Prabhupada just assigned that duty to the GVC and temple president. So the temple president is empowered. Empowered with his letter. That was a paid advertisement. So we take prasadam now? Does that sound good, or any other questions? Tomorrow is an important day. It is the disappearance day of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. So we'll be speaking during the morning program about those two personalities. There's a lot of information. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was perhaps our most prolific writer. In other words, he wrote more articles, books, commentaries, I think, than almost anyone else in our disciplic succession. Over 50 works, original works. And some of them are quite lengthy. We'll discuss that tomorrow. And Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is Srimati Radharani appearing in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So, just put everybody on the phone. These are all the smiling devotees in Helsinki. In the sun. Enjoying the sun which never goes down. This is midnight right now we're sitting. Don't believe it. Anyway. Getting ready for Mangalarti. Okay. Now that happy note.